Welcome to the True Crime Cafe. I'm Becky.
And I'm Angie, and you won't believe the case I have for you today.
So Angie, tell me what you got this week.
Okay, so you know me, I normally go for the older cases because that's where my interests lie. However, today I have a recent case for you.
Okay.
I have been following this case since January.
Okay.
So yeah, you ready to jump in?
Let's do it.
All right. So Alexis Gabe was a 24-year-old from Oakley, California. On January 26, 2022, she drove to Antioch, California to visit her ex-boyfriend, 27-year-old Marshall Curtis Jones.
Okay.
So although they had broke up in November of 2021 after like 3 years of being together, they still saw each other from time to time. I don't know if you ever, not obviously not now that you live down in South Carolina, but if you ever ran into any of your ex-boyfriends or you've remained on good terms with them, so you kind of, you know, you just hung out or saw each other or whatever.
When I met my husband, we hung out so much that we just kind of naturally cut off all our exes just by default. But on our wedding night, we went to the mall because that's what you do on your wedding night. And we went to Bob Evans and went to the mall, went to the bookstore in the mall. I think it was Walden Books. And dating myself here, but yeah, good old Walden
Books. I remember Walden Books.
And I ran into a college boyfriend. And he's like, "How you doing?" I'm like, "I'm good. I got married today." Awkward. But yeah, not very often. No.
I was going to say, there's only, I think, one ex that I'm still on friendly terms with. Like, we're friends on Facebook and, you know, whatnot. So anyway, back to Alexis's story.
Okay.
So sadly, that night would be the last time Alexis was seen alive.
Oh, no.
Yes. So I'm going to preface the rest of this episode by saying I found an amazing timeline that the police department put together. So you're going to get a lot of time, dates, and stuff in this episode.
Awesome.
Okay. So on that evening, Alexis arrived at Jones's house at 6:37 p.m. This is all based on like cell phone data that they were able to obtain. At 9:35 p.m., her car was seen on a surveillance camera being parked on a street away from her ex's home. A lone driver exited the vehicle now and started to walk away. Alexis's phone signal showed it moving along the same path as the driver took after abandoning her car until her phone stopped transmitting data at 9:43 p.m. On January 27th, which is the next day, Alexis's mom, Rowena, called Jones and asked him if he had seen Alexis the previous evening. He said he had. She later texted him and asked him what time Alexis had left, to which he responded around 9 p.m.
Okay.
At 1:02 p.m., the Oakley Police Department launched a missing persons investigation, which most true crime listeners, watchers, they know that that is very, very quick.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a good thing. Like, I wish all of them would start that quick. Mm-hmm. However,
instead of the whole BS about you have to wait 12, 24, 48, 72 hours, whatever their quote unquote department policy is.
Mm-hmm. So her family also launched a search for, as most families would, at 4:15 p.m., they found her, they meaning her family, found her abandoned car. The keys were in the ignition and the doors were unlocked. At 5:07 p.m., the police contacted Jones. He told the police that Alexis probably went to a friend's house after she left his house. However, that friend was out of town, which Jones most likely knew.
Weird.
On January 28th, Jones gave the police department conditional consent to search his house. He told them they could not enter the master bedroom or a spare bedroom. He also allowed the police to take his phone for a forensic download. At 1:21 p.m., Jones arrived at his mom's house and backed into her driveway, and he was seen removing two large, heavy-looking black trash bags from the back. He drove a Ford Explorer, so
yeah,
he was removing them from the back.
That's not scary. sketchy at all.
Not at all. He and his mom later went to Metro PCS and bought a new cell phone. And at 5:03 p.m., Jones loaded the trash bags back into his car. He then went to his sister's house, arriving at 6:41. He left 30 minutes later and turned off both phones, his existing cell phone that he had gotten back from the police and the new one that him and his mom had gone and bought.
I got feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I've had lots of feelings for 10 months.
And I've not heard of this case. So it's my first time hearing about it. So I'm super interested. You've got me hooked. And it's like, I want to know what's in the trash bags and I don't want to know what's in.
Exactly. So at 12:43 a.m. on January 29th, Jones turned his phones back on and then arrived back at his mom's house about 15 minutes later. So about 1-ish, in the morning, he arrived back at his mom. He then left his mom's and went to his sister's house around 2:41 a.m.
Why the middle of the night? If one of my brothers showed up in the middle of the night, it's probably because they're in trouble.
Exactly. So on January 30th, Jones called out of work sick, telling his boss that he had some things to take care of. His sister kicked him out of her house on January 31st. I could not find a reason as to why she kicked him out. I mean, I don't know if he did something, if he was acting funny. I don't know. I could not find anything.
I mean, we could speculate. She found out what was in the trash bags, something else, whatever. I mean, but okay, keep going.
On February 1st, Jones stayed at his mother's house and was seen with a firearm. So the police served a search warrant on his house the same day. So remember, this is three different houses we're talking about. His house, his mom's house, his sister's house. There, they found traces of blood and saw that his shower curtain was missing from his bathroom. The shower curtain missing in and of itself isn't a big deal. Wouldn't automatically lead somebody to think that something horrible had happened. But that, coupled with the traces of blood, coupled with the fact that his ex-girlfriend is missing, to me, it's all kind of suspicious.
Yeah, when you combine them together, it's really sketchy. But like you said, a shower curtain being gone. I got two adult kids living here and two bonus kids. They're all male. And honest to goodness, if the boys' bathroom did not have a shower curtain, it would not faze them a bit.
Exactly. Like,
at least two of them, it would not faze them. They would just, you know, whatever. I'll just point the thing towards the wall. It'd be fine. You know, whatever. They're boys.
On February 2nd, so the day after the search warrant was served, Jones flew to Washington State and stayed at his dad's house.
Okay.
The next day, on February 3rd, a search warrant was served on his mother's house. And then 3 weeks later, on February 23rd, 3 weeks, a search warrant was served on his sister's house. Now, at his sister's house, she had found, so the way I read the source material, she found a set of handwritten directions. When the police served the search warrant, they either saw them, found them, she gave them to them, the handwritten directions to Pioneer, California. Let me stop and just say, some sources say Pioneer, while others say Plymouth. I went with what the timeline said, so I went with Pioneer. So the police immediately launched multiple land, air, and water searches. However, nothing was found. Okay. On February 25th, a search volunteer found Alexis's unique phone case. Apparently, her cell phone case was custom made, and therefore it was easily identified.
Yeah.
So now we're going to jump ahead a little bit. Jones's mother was arrested on May 19th on suspicion of aiding and abetting. However, the DA's office declined to file charges and she was released. The DA said that they didn't have enough evidence.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, it happens, unfortunately.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, in a perfect world, enough evidence would be found to hold the people responsible for crimes accountable. So on June 1st, remember, Jones is still in Washington State. On June 1st at 5:45 p.m., p.m., the Pacific Northwest Violent Offenders Task Force arrived at the house, where Jones lunged at them with a knife, resulting in the police fatally shooting and killing him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So after Jones's death, a friend of his came forward and admitted him and Jones had talked about killing Alexis. When I say they talked about it, apparently the phone conversation or their conversation entailed Jones asking this friend, you know, like, where's the best place to dispose of a body? The friend saying, like, a septic tank or, like, in the middle of the woods. You know, the friend had never met Alexis and thought it was a joke.
But no, like, you and I have had conversations. Like, oh, if my husband turns up missing, I hope he's not in an alligator swamp. Oh, it's, you know, I'm glad I was with you all day because he turned up missing. But, you know, but joking. Nobody, yeah. if you said, hey, where's the best place to hide my husband's body? And I gave you some suggestions. Nothing about that conversation would make me think you were serious, because we have dark humor about this kind of thing.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess it's not necessarily the best thing to joke about, but I mean, how many people in their life have not said at least one time, if this person doesn't leave me alone, or I'm going to kill him?
Yeah.
Or if such doesn't leave me alone, they're going to find this person buried in the backyard. Like,
yeah, I mean, there are t-shirts that say things like, you know, stop annoying me or I will put you in my trunk and help people look for you.
Mm-hmm. So I get where the friend was coming from. The friend has never been charged, never been a person of interest. Let me make that clear. Like, the friend is, the police do not believe that this friend was involved in any of this in any shape or form. Okay. He just happened to be the one that Jones had the conversation with. So the police believe that Jones murdered Alexis in his home the evening of January 26th. That's a fair assumption, since she has never been seen since. And her last confirmed whereabouts were at his house.
Yeah. Plus, you know, the heavy trash bags, the missing shower curtain.
Alexis's family believes that Jones's mother played a role in covering up the murder. Again, that's, I would say, a fair assumption on their part. Like, it's just all kind of sketchy, because it's not like she was at home when he arrived at her house with these trash bags, and she was also home when he reloaded them into his car.
She took him out to get him a new phone when the police had his, even though, how soon did he get it back after?
Oh, it was the same day. It was like a couple of hours
later. So why would he need a new phone?
Mm-hmm. So the police believe that he did in fact have help. However, charges have never been filed against anyone. He has always been their prime suspect, and he's dead, so obviously they couldn't charge him. And again, unfortunately, they do not have any solid evidence that any other person helped him, even though the actions of other people kind of make it suspicious for me.
Like, I feel so bad for Alexis's family,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, the guy who probably did it is no longer here, but there are pros and cons of going through a trial. One of the cons is that you have to relive everything. But one of the pros is that you get that closure.
Mm-hmm. So the story's not over yet.
Oh my gosh. Okay, keep going.
All right. So Alexis's father was quoted as saying that they never saw this coming from the ex-boyfriend. Like, they had dated for like 3 years. They considered him a part of their family. Okay. So it's been extremely hard on the family, as one would figure it would be. So again, I've been following this case since January. Like, it's been in my Google alerts since.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember how I found the case. I was probably searching for another case and came across this one. then at that point, obviously, there wasn't a whole lot of information out. So on November 3rd, someone was out metal detecting and they stumbled across human remains. So police went to the area, discovered the partial remains, black trash bag remnants, duct tape, and a pair of earrings that were later identified as Alexis. The remains were confirmed to be those of Alexis Gabe. They had to use dental records because you gotta think, I mean, 10 months later, being out, even if a body is buried, it's gonna, it's not gonna be like, can look at the body and go and compare it to a picture and say, oh yeah, this is that.
Oh, if it's the middle of summer and, you know, a body's left in the woods and it's really hot outside, mm-hmm. it could be a few days later and you wouldn't be able to recognize. So
unfortunately, no other remains have been found. The police believe that, as what often happens when a body is just disposed of, and you can go back in history and look at crimes like this, when it's left exposed to the elements or buried in the woods or whatnot, animals scavenge it. So the police don't believe that they will ever find any more of her remains.
So sad.
The case is now considered closed, although her family hope eventually that other people will be charged and held accountable for whatever role they may have played either in the murder or in the aftermath of it.
Yeah. I mean, I know they'll be held accountable someday because no matter what religion you follow, I believe that in the end of our lives, we have to answer for things good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a ultimate scales of justice at the end. That's what I believe. And I like to think that someday they're going to have to answer for it, whether it's on earth or after. But for the victim's family, you always hope it's sooner than later because nobody needs to live with that kind of question hanging over their lives.
Mm-mm.
And if the other people are guilty, they don't deserve to live with that guilt because it will eat away at them. They will eventually, it will affect them. We hope.
I got no sympathy for anybody else who may be involved in this and has not done the right thing. No sympathy whatsoever for them.
Yeah.
Whether they were quote unquote dragged into it mm-hmm. or whatever. I don't care. If you played a part in any of this mm-hmm. and you have chosen not to go to police with what you know, what you saw, what you mm-hmm. did, no sympathy. While I am glad that the partial remains that were discovered were able to identify them as belonging to her, so her parents, they're not sitting there thinking, well, where is she? Where is she? However, it's very sad that her entire body wasn't found. It's sad that the prime suspect in this can never be charged. It is sad that after considering this person to be a part of their family because he was dating their daughter, and then for him to turn around and do something like this is heartbreaking. It's not like they had been broken up for years. Like, it was literally just a couple of months. So it was still fresh and he was still probably seen as a part of their family. So that's my story.
Yeah. So it's almost like they're mourning their daughter and someone who they considered a son.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Very sad. Very heartbreaking. I do hope, along with her family, that others will eventually be charged.
Yeah.
I hope that her family can find some sort of solace in the fact that at least they have heard of her back. I mean, I hate to refer to it like that, but we both research a ton of different cases, ton of different types of cases.
We do. And even when we're not researching, it's like Dateline stays pretty much on repeat mm-hmm. in my office or coming through the Echo device, their podcast, whatever.
The saddest cases for me when I research them are the missing person cases that have never been solved. And you have these family members 20, 30, 40 years later mm-hmm. still holding out hope that their loved one will either return or be found.
Yeah. And there are cases where they do return years and years later. There was one, it was an episode of Disappeared, and I think the woman had fled to Washington State and she had never come home because there was something in her past that she just was running from and she didn't want to face her parents. or whatever, her family. And so she was living across the country. And when she finally came home, they welcomed her with open arms. And it was just a tearful airport reunion. And, you know, I was sitting here bawling. And then there was another one, I think it was in Baltimore, and the girl was living in New York City, and she had changed her name, lied about her age. And finally, one day she just picked up the phone and called her mother and was like, hey, you know, I don't know if she saw herself on the news or what, but eventually she did reach out to her family and was like, hey, you know, I'm alive, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, my heart breaks for any family who is holding on to that sliver of hope because they don't have a body. They don't have any type of closure. Like, so yeah.
There's a show on Paramount. I think it's called Never Seen Again on Paramount Plus. Mm-hmm. And we watched the first episode. What caught our attention was that Tyler Perry hosted the first episode, and we like Tyler Perry. And the episode he did was about this young man in Baltimore who went missing when the police picked him up for some ambiguous thing. And then they said they dropped him back off and mm-hmm. his car, you know, the episode. So
I know the episode, yeah.
Yeah, but those episodes are so freaking heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Just
that, not to get away from the Alexis Gabe story, but the same police officer who was involved in that case you were just talking about was also involved in another case where somebody else went missing.
Yeah.
So I get why the police at this point have to consider the case closed. Like, they don't have any other suspects. Like, based on the research I did, there was never any doubt among the police that he was the one that did this.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they were never able to gather enough evidence to implicate anybody else, which, I mean, at that point, you can't necessarily justify using man hours on a case to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to be heartless, but I get it. There's only so many resources.
Yeah. They become more and more limited. Mm-hmm. Not because they have less resources, but because, unfortunately, especially since the pandemic, true crime has exploded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like I said, I hope the Gabe family can find solace in the fact that they have a part of her back. They have some type of closure. Yeah.
They have an answer about.
They have an answer. Yes.
Even though the answer is she's never coming home, now they know.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, because according to her father, until those partial remains were found and identified as hers, her mom was still holding on to the fact, my daughter's alive, she's out there somewhere, we're gonna find her.
Oh, as a parent, if one of my kids went missing, God forbid, I would never give up hope. We would live in this house for the rest of our lives. We would never change our phone numbers. That, like, I totally get it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get it too. Like, I'm not,
but
I don't want to put any negativity out there in the universe, you know, for my babies, but I'm the same way. And it would be that way for, like, my closest friends as well, and my family, most of my family, like, you know, whether it's a parent, an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, mm-hmm. a child,
close friend, coworker, like you know, I think the world of your husband, but if you go missing, we're gonna have a chat.
Yeah,
I promise you,
if I go missing, I promise it will not be because
but we're still gonna have a chat.
Yeah, my husband is probably one of the most, I don't want to say calm, because we have our arguments, but, like, we don't argue that much.
He's very chill.
He is very chill about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like, he vents about stuff, and then that's it. He just needs to vent.
I think that's why our husbands get along, is because they share that trait.
Yeah. they figured they need to stick together because
they
married us. But yeah.
Pretty much. So would you like some happy news?
Well, duh. Don't I always?
Okay. So we have a message. I want to give a shout out to Keller Lynn Tianti, who sent us a message on our Facebook page just to say that she adores us. So,
aww.
Keller, thank you so much. When I read that message, it totally made my day. And I know I shared it with you elsewhere, but I just wanted to give a shout out to Keller today. So
yay, thank you.
So Angie, I hear you found an update on this case.
Yes, the Alexa Gabe case. When we recorded, we ended in November, where somebody who was out doing metal detecting found her skull.
Okay.
So now we are going to fast forward to January of this year. Family has been doing searches with volunteers nonstop. They want to bring their baby home. Completely understandable. I would want to bring my baby home.
Exactly.
During the volunteer searches in January, more partial remains were discovered by the volunteers off of Highway 49 near Amador City. But originally, the remains at first were thought to be animal bone. However, one of the searcher's husband was a veterinarian who went back to the site and determined that they were in fact not animal. So the Amador County Sheriff's Office requested DNA tests. Now we know how long DNA tests can take. Months, years.
It's not like when you're watching an episode of CSI and they like get them back the next day and you're like, wow, that'd be nice.
So the tests were completed, and in March those remains were confirmed to belong to Alexa Gate. The remains were taken back to the coroner's office so that they could be autopsied. The district attorney had said last fall that the remains would help his office determine the manner in which Alexis was killed, so that and be able to better assess if others might be charged in the case. Because if you remember from our original report, the ex-boyfriend was a person of interest. I went to the Facebook page that the family had set up, bring Alexis home. They posted an image, not of the body or parts, just a picture of a skeleton. Okay. An image of a skeleton, not a real skeleton, like a drawing. And they show like the bones identified as belonging to Alexis Gabe, the bones that they've now collected with those that they got in January, but they were still waiting for the DNA report. And then the parts that are absent still. So based on this, it looks like with this last set of remains that was found, they have most of the remains are present. Her full right arm is missing. Her left lower arm below the elbow, full left leg and right leg below the knee are still missing.
Oh, wow.
But they have found the majority of the bones, and based on the bones that they do have, they have markings on this image of where sharp force defects have been identified, and they're pretty much right at major joints.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, her parents aren't giving up until they have the complete remains of her.
You know, it's kind of unusual that they assumed they were animal bones, because a lot of times it's the opposite. People find animal bones and they're like, oh, I found the body.
Yeah. Yeah. But with it being the torso area, you got the vertebrae, you've got the rib bones. So I could see how they could thought to be animal bones.
Especially if you're not familiar with anatomy.
Quinn Gabe, who's Alexis's father, has said, my wife just doesn't want to stop. She wants to find everything. She won't even return to work. She says, I'm not going back to work until I find all. So from the sounds of it, the newest set of remains that were found in January were found, you know, 10 miles really isn't that far when you think about it. So
no, I'm not
sure if they're concentrating more searches in a radius around that encompasses the two areas in hopes of finding the rest of her remains, as well as, like, she was carrying a green purse when she left. She had a necklace on. She had glasses on. That's stuff that has not been found yet. But they are getting closer to find the rest of her remains, and I hope that they find the rest of her remains. I hope that when they find the rest of her remains, that it brings some sort of peace to her parents, that they have their baby back.
Exactly. I hope that too. Thanks for the update.
Problem. You know me, I'm always watching cases. See if there's any updates to ones that either one of us have
covered. Yeah, my Google search goes off every day about something else, it seems like.
Yes, so. Yes. So that is the latest update that we have about this case. Hopefully we'll be able to come to y'all again in the future with a final update saying that they had found everything, you know, the rest.
That would be awesome.
I agree.
Stay caffeinated.
And join us next time for another cup of crime.